Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What's that?
Good morning.
One more time. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Please take a few moments to greet the people around you. Now, not everyone is a hugger. I know a bunch of you are huggers, because I'm a hugger, too. But be gentle with folks, and if somebody is absolutely coming out with a hand, you might not want to tackle them. So please, greet each other. Job, your worship leader today, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe all people are inherently worthy and dignified, and all are welcome here. You are welcome here, no matter how you identify or who you love, no matter what the color of your skin or your personal circumstances or what your understanding is of God or life's big questions, you are welcome into this community.
I am Lily Roberts, your worship associate today. This morning, you were invited to light a chalice at the back of the sanctuary and write in our milestone book. If you wish, we will add your joy or sorrow to this morning's pastoral prayer or the caring corner in our bulletin. To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light a second pillar candle for the joys in the world, for the moments of hope and celebration. I would like to invite Carlina and Ron Weick to light our chalice this morning. Carlina and Ron have been members of UUCD since 2003. Both have been active in the choir and the poetry reading group. Ron was part of the building committee that gave us the new social hall and kitchen. Carlina has been a worship associate, a board member, and she has served on the campus intern committee and the committee on ministry. We light this chalice as the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit, touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason. It is the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life.
Today, our service is about the power of poetry. Poetry is able to take large ideas and put them into a very small space. So Lily asked me to read a poem that she loves and is relevant to our topic today. This is called The End by A.A. Milne, who you may know as the author of Winnie the Pooh. The End. When I was one, I had just begun. When I was two, I was nearly new. When I was three, I was hardly me. When I was four, I was not much more. When I was five, I was just alive. But now I am six. I'm as clever as clever. So I think I'll be six now forever and ever.
So you'll hear echoes of Milne's poem in what I have to say today. Today is my last service as a worship associate. Oh, thank you. I may be back in future years. I'm still young. I'm still six at heart. Poetry has been an integral part of what I have shared over the past 2 years. This has been an unparalleled spiritual journey for me. I have explored deep questions, shared my vulnerabilities, and learned lessons of forgiveness, generosity, and human kindness. Now that I am 10 times 6, what will be my legacy? My very first reflection was in response to the poem Meteor Shower by Clint Smith. I introduced myself and I allowed my narrative to hint at my vulnerabilities. I introduced my beloved Grandpa Jesse, who imbued me with the love of poetry, and my daughter Erica. They were the centers of my universe back when I was but 4 times 6. I was struck by the lines in Meteor Shower, how there is always a streak of our past trailing closely behind us, like a smattering of obstinate memories. I reflected, Grandpa Jesse, your stardust is in my soul. You are the streak of my past trailing closely behind me. What will be my legacy? Whose hearts will hold me dear and feel my stardust in their souls? Later that fall, I shared a poem that I had written in response to a dream. I awoke to the nagging question, who am I? And what will I do now that I am 10 times 6 plus 1? I posed the question to this congregation, what matters most when we take stock of our lives? My answer was, I believe it is who we are based on how we are towards others. It is what we do for others that makes us who we are. My poem turned into an ode for this community of caring individuals. Early last year, I reflected on the theme of covenant. It was kind of a big theme for our church a couple years ago. And Robert and I were celebrating our 35th anniversary by updating our wedding vows. Our children walked us down these very aisles, and we renewed our most sacred covenant, one of love, family, and friendship. We chose the poem Two Trees by Janet Miles as the theme for our renewal ceremony. A portion of your soul has been entwined with mine, a gentle kind of togetherness, while separately we stand as two trees deeply rooted in separate plots of ground, while their topmost branches come together, forming a miracle of lace against the heavens. When I was 10 times 6 plus 2, I wrote about my name and how being teased made me feel alone. I shared about my young friend Angela and how at 5 years old, my vision of heaven was formed when an angel and a flower were lying in the grass and imagining life inside a big blue bubble. No harmful words, no biases, just two little girls, friends. We felt safe together. Last December, with Alex, I returned to the topic of what's in a name. My birthday falls the day before the winter solstice, and like the lily bulb under the cold soil, protected from the elements, I begin to slowly blossom again as the days grow imperceptibly longer. I was blessed with a sacred name because it represents life's renewal and hope for a brighter day. Now that I am 10 times 6 plus 3, I cannot imagine a richer way to continue on one spiritual journey than being a worship associate. I have great respect for the other worship associates, past, present, and future. I admire their stories, value their perspectives, and know full well the courage it takes to tell one's stories. This experience has helped me to make deeper connections. I have been welcomed here by many of you, all of you. I have received kudos and thanks. I have made friends, shared laughter and tears. We are blessed. We are blessed to be together. Although my step is not as sure as I near 10 times 6 plus 4, my love of rhyme is forevermore. I thank you all for your acceptance and encouragement of my spiritual growth. Now that I have answered the question of who I am, I leave you with my ode to this congregation. I am afraid, and yet I am fearless, because I am not alone. I am tired, but I feel energized, because you give me strength. I am lost, yet I am here and present, because you are here for me. I have breath, even though I am breathless, because you assist me. I have spirit, yet I am here and alive, because we are together. I am who I am.
Hi. I tend to ad-lib a little. I'm just going to tell you that straight out. This being a sanctuary, we don't applaud all the time. We tend to do the soul clap. But I wonder if we might acknowledge Lily for all her time as a worship associate. Thank you. We are more for having you with us. Now, in this thing I've written here, I don't even know what to call it. In this thing I've written here, I go back and forth between prose and some poems. And my own poems don't have titles. And I don't want you to be confused when I'm switching from prose to poetry. Because my prose is, you know, pretty flowery too. So I'll give you a funny look like this. I don't know, I'll do something physical to acknowledge that I'm changing, okay? My life is not mine. Give up wanting what other people have. That way you're safe. Where can I be safe, you ask? And this is not a day for asking questions. Not a day on any calendar. This day is conscious of itself. This day is a lover, bread, and gentleness. More manifest than saying can say. Thoughts take form with words, but this daylight is beyond and before thinking and imagining. Jalal al-Din Rumi. I cannot imagine a life without poetry in it. I know people do quite well with it all the time, great lives, but I just can't see it for myself. I'm James Lee Jobe. I'm 6 times 10 plus 2. And I decided at the age of 8 to spend my life writing poems, and I have. I had a very wise third grade teacher. Her name was Rose Johnson in San Jacinto Elementary. And she put the collected Edgar Allan Poe in my hands, both the stories and the poems. And I learned early on that there wouldn't be fame or wealth, and that it didn't matter at all to me. Poetry brings my life purpose and meaning, and every day includes acts of creation. That's not a bad thing. That's really something. As an 8-year-old boy from a broken family, I'm the son of an alcoholic father. Poetry freed me to describe my existence. And people listen, and they still do. And that's pretty amazing, you know. And I've often used poetry to do like Rumi and give the world my advice. Rumi does that in a lot of poems. He tells you what to do. Do this. Don't do that. Why worry? It changes nothing. Let me live like a bee, moving pollen from flower to flower, without thinking, just doing. Or let me live like the hive itself, working each moment in harmony. Days become seasons, seasons become years. What is time? It's nothing. There was a movie 30 years ago, and I bet most of you have seen it, called The Dead Poets Society, where a nonconformist young teacher shakes up a rather stodgy boys' school with poetry and spontaneity. And Robin Williams played the teacher, and he explained his motivation to his students this way. We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. And medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. I always loved that. And I find a lot of beauty where I live, here in our valley, the Sacramento Valley, the lay of the land, the flora and the fauna of this area, and the people here that I love often make it into my poems, more often than not. The moon sets in the west just after dawn, and a two-seedling fir tree takes root, is born just like that. I was born thousands of miles from this valley, but this is where I took root and came to life, just like that. Sacramento Valley, mice and hawks, land of burrowing owls, defined by a river, a land defined by water, the power of water, moving, rushing, and the power of land, rich, giving. It's just after dawn and the moon has set in the west and the sun clears the pine tops. Clear blue sky. A two-seedling fir takes root, is born. And this is where I took root and came to life. Just like that. Just like that. And poetry is a fine tool for putting life into perspective. We are blessed with poets in this congregation. And here, poet Allegra Silverstein captures an outlook on life, on making her own way, on strength and independence. And since Allegra is here, she will read it herself.
Oh, you've got it down here. That's great. But I'll take this one. This one's called Walking the Lines. It was inspired by a photograph with all sorts of lines going out in a path and a single person walking along. So many lines surround me, weaving a web like tracks in the sand, like letters on signposts giving directions. They circle around me. Go this way to please Mama. That way to please Papa. Go this way for your party. That way, according to Emily. Go this way for the upper crust. That way, if you're bohemian. Go this way to be an artist. That way for business. Go this way for wealth. That way to govern. Go this way. Go that way. So much of this. So many of that. I walk a rock-studded sandy beach where vehicles have left their trails in the sand. My shadow makes a line by my side like a guidepost, like a compass. If you ask, and I walk between these lines, if you ask me, do I know where I'm going? I'll tell you, I'm not sure, but I'm walking a line that is all my own.
And here another poet among us, Carlena Weick, shares the connection that poetry makes in her life and how it connects the ordinary with the extraordinary. Carlena?
Ticonderoga. Do anybody here know Ticonderoga as anything more than a fort? Because this is not about a fort. Somewhere in the dark calm of a day not yet discovered, sweet spirit lingers, close and yet untouchable, watching as I loiter in the artificial light of truth, where dust prints out to-do lists, dishes drown dreams, and the vacuum tugs at my leash. Awake while others sleep, I seek a shadowed peace. Armed like a child with a number two pencil, I work my lead back and forth across the page of a day not yet lived. Watch yesterday's footnotes appear, etched in night, white on black, and spot my soul sifting cinders, charred, but shining through, still hoping to make it to the ball.
Both poets have been friends of mine for many years, and I can't tell you how many poetry readings we've all participated in together. Sometimes with one of us being the featured poet, or one of us being the host, or all of us being in the audience, or any combination thereof you can possibly think of. Thank you both. Ma'am, would you like a seat?
No, thank you.
Okay. If you sit here, you know the truth will hit you first. Okay. Glad you're here. Poetry can encourage us to live our lives more fully, to embrace our humanity, to be more completely human by embracing within each of us that which is human, even to the point of turning every day into a life lesson. And I think if we look hard enough, it's not hard to find a lesson every day. And that includes the tragedies of our life. The guest house. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be cleaning you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from above, beyond. Jalal al-Din Rumi. Poetry for me is a form of expression that I just never latched onto in other forms of writing. It's the music and language wrapped in myth and magic, and yet it manages to be real and down to earth at the same time. I find that poetry is able to take that which is sacred and connect it to language, is able to help language reveal its power and its beauty, and makes it possible for me to express the strength and grace in my own heart. Poetry was with me as a Catholic boy. It was with me as a young man who rejected the patriarchy of the church. It was with me in my search for some meaning in my life. It was with me when I fell in love with my wife, Alexandra, who's over there. And it's with me now as a Unitarian Universalist and a Buddhist. Life and spirituality are one and the same. And it is through poetry that I can capture that and share it. When I told you that I found poetry as a boy, I mentioned that I realized there really wasn't much money involved and that I would likely be a poor man. Well, that's only half true. It's only money that I lack. I'm as wealthy as anyone you will ever know. My life is rich. All right. The pastoral prayer. Morning, blessed by light, blessed by the songs of birds, blessed by the love of families waking up to eat breakfast together, blessed by the possibilities offered by a new day. Gratitude for the sunlight. Gratitude for the bird songs. Gratitude for my own family, my own day. Thank you for my life.
Please join hands for the benediction.
Restraint and patience, wisdom and diligence, above all, kindness and generosity. May we seek out ways to practice these every day and be thankful that we can. Let this congregation say, blessed be and amen.
Blessed be and amen.
Booyah.